Welcome to Training on Demand at Friendship Grace Brethren Church, where our motto is learning and living God's Word. Here, we are dedicated to empowering believers and fostering a deeper understanding of the Bible. Our on-demand training sessions offer a flexible and comprehensive approach to spiritual growth, tailored to fit your schedule and needs. Join us on this enriching journey to strengthen your faith and live out God's teachings in your everyday life. Whether you're exploring the scriptures for the first time or seeking to deepen your knowledge, our resources are designed to inspire and guide you. Let's discover the transformative power of God's Word together.
The power of God's Word. Renewal, celebration, and obedience in Nehemiah chapter 8, verses 1 through 12. We return to Nehemiah this morning. We find ourselves in chapter 8. Last week we worked through the last half of chapter 6 and all of chapter 7, 73 verses in chapter 7. Chapter 7 was mostly a retelling of the lists of people who returned to the city of Jerusalem and Judea, very much like chapter 2 of Ezra. The walls were completed, the gates and doors were installed. Nehemiah was seeking to begin populating the city with people that were supposed to be there, with Jews who had a heritage, who had ancestry in the city and in the region, Jews who could prove their rightful possession of the city. This morning in chapter 8, we see both Ezra and Nehemiah present to the people the law of God from the Torah. So let's dig into our text this morning. And all the people gathered as one man into the square before the water gate. And they told Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law of Moses from the Lord, or that the Lord had commanded Israel. So Ezra the priest brought the law before the assembly, both men and women, and all who could understand what they heard on the first day of the seventh month. The gates are installed, the walls are built, the city is secure. It's time to get back to God and to His Word. All the people gathered as one. I love that statement. They all gathered as one. Gathered as one means they were unified in purpose. They were unified in their goal. They were gathered together with one mind of following God. They worked together and they rebuilt the walls. Now they're unified in getting their religious practice going properly again, following the law, getting it all back on track. They came together to hear from God. They came together to hear what God wanted them to do. Everyone who could comprehend came together to hear God's word. I'm fascinated by that little statement. Everyone who could understand. Little kids, all the way up. Anybody that could comprehend what was being said were together and were listening. Ezra the scribe, the priest, brought the word of God, the Torah, to them. These verses highlight a spiritual renewal and the reality that spiritual renewal could not happen apart from the Word of God. It takes the Word to renew our hearts and to realign us into His direction. The Apostle Paul would write several hundred years later, "All Scripture is breathed out by God and is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness." Why? "That the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work." Nehemiah and Ezra knew they needed to present to the people God's Word. No matter what they were doing to serve the Lord, His Word needs to be part of our daily life. Our daily routine needs to include God's Word. It can teach us. It can correct us. It can train us. A failure to consume God's Word is the same as a failure to eat your food in the oven. You go to the grocery store and you buy your food and and you prepare it and then you don't eat it. That's buying a Bible and not using it. That's having Scripture available to you on your phone or your tablet or in printed pages and not ever opening it. Eventually, what happens when you don't eat the food in your refrigerator and oven? It goes bad. It's of no value. Well, God's Word never goes bad, but it's of no value to you if you don't consume it. If you're not in it, it does you no good. You need to eat regularly to obtain the nutrients that you need to survive, spiritually and physically. Some of us eat more than others. I get it. It just means I'm more healthy, right? Isn't that the way to look at that? A failure to regularly consume God's Word will leave you weak and eventually sick. The fact that they were gathering together in Jerusalem on the first day of the seventh month is an indication they'd already begun to listen to God. They'd already begun to follow what He had said. Chuck read for us a couple of the passages that prescribed for them those special feast days. The seventh month is liturgically one of the most important months in the Jewish calendar. During the seventh month, the month of Tishri, they had prescribed the Feast of Trumpets, the Day of Atonement, and the Feast of Tabernacles. Those were high holy days for them. Those were important aspects of their relationship with God in their corporate worship. In the passages that Chuck just read, we see that the Jews were instructed to gather every 7 years to listen to the Torah read aloud, so they could listen and learn to fear the Lord. Ezra and Nehemiah may have had all of that in mind when they set about to establish again the practice of listening and hearing God's Word. Sorry, Tom, I cannot talk to you right now. And he read it facing the square before the water gate from the early morning until midday in the presence of the men and women and those who could understand, and the ears of all the people were attentive to the book of the law. Ezra read from daybreak until noon, about 6 hours. Ezra was reading while facing the water gate. No, not the white complex in Washington, D.C., but a gate we believe is down on the eastern ridge of the city of David, south of the Temple Mount. I say we believe because we're not quite sure about the landmark. We think that's where it is, but that's one of those archaeological discoveries that is still waiting to occur. It provided access to the, if it is where I'm saying on the eastern ridge, excuse me, of the Gihon Spring, it provided access to the Gihon Springs, Jerusalem's main water source. Jerusalem had water coming into it from outside, underneath the walls, through the springs, and through Hezekiah's tunnel. The square is believed to have been a very large open place, referred to in some translations as a broad place. Thousands of people could gather in this square, and they were all attentive to the law. Some scholars suggest that the fact that they gathered in such a large group to hear God's Word apart from the temple is indicative of God's Word being more important than the temple. I don't know if you can make that assertion or not from the text, but they're saying because they weren't gathered at the temple to hear this, that God's Word is supreme to the temple. It is. I don't know that you can draw that conclusion from the text. But God's Word is more than a tool or more than a symbol. It's a true representation or expression of God Himself. His Word is way more important than anything else around us. In fact, we call His Son, Logos, His Word. He is the personification of his spoken word. And Ezra the scribe stood on a wooden platform that they had made for the purpose. And beside him stood Methahiah, Shema, Ananiah, Uriah, Hilkiah, and Maaseiah on his right hand, and Pedaiah, Mishael, Malchiah, Hashbun-Danah, Zechariah, and Meshulam on his left hand. Yeah, why not Tom and Bill and Joe? But anyway, this was not a spontaneous gathering. They had built a platform or a stage for Ezra and those with him to stand on. This verse also tells us that men stood with Ezra as he read. We don't know much about these men. We don't know who they were. We have no title or biographical information. They appear to have been supportive of Ezra reading the text. We just don't know who they are. But here's a group of guys standing with Ezra, giving support of some sort to Ezra. It meant something to the original readers and the people that were there. We just don't know what. And Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, for he was above all the people. And as he opened it, all the people stood. As Ezra opened the book, the people paid respect to the word and stood up. Ezra was on a raised platform so everyone could see him. There's some indication that they remained standing for the entire 6 hours. Depending on how you interpret the grammar of the statement, they may have stood and remained standing for the 6 hours. If it was a big open field, you know, sitting would be sitting on the ground probably. There weren't chairs and pews and so forth, so many of them maybe stood. Again, giving an indication of the supremacy of the Word of God. And Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God, and the people answered, Amen, Amen, lifting up their hands, and they bowed their heads and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. This is a great picture of corporate worship, isn't it? Before Ezra read the law, he presented the scrolls to the people. He said, I'm reading here from these scrolls, probably heavy, probably the guys with him helping him hold them up. I envision that he raised it over his head and he began to pray, and they all worshiped the Lord. The people responded by lifting their hands and voiced Amen, Amen to God. This was true corporate, heartfelt worship. There's also a sense in their posture that they were acknowledging their dependence on God. They bowed to God, raised their hands, and said Amen, Amen. They bowed, demonstrating their humility before God. Clearly, the people honored God with their humility and demonstration of their dependence on Him. They'd been on the top of their mountain. They had a mountaintop experience. They had built the wall in 52 days. They were really feeling God had blessed them in their work. This was the height of their spiritual journey. We worked together and we did, in spite of the opposition, what God wanted us to do. They were feeling the success. They were on a spiritual high, if you will. And Jeshua, Bani, Jeremiah, Jamin, Achub, Shabbatai, Hodiah, Messiah, Kelita, Azariah, Jozabad, Hanan, Beliah, the Levites, helped the people understand the law while the people remained in their place. They read from the book, from the law of God, clearly, and they gave sense so that the people understood the reading. It's a different list of men from earlier. These men were Levites and priests who were among the crowd. So there's thousands of people in this big open square. I envision being in smaller groups with a priest with each group. Ezra's reading, they're explaining. Ezra's reading, they're explaining. This is a pure function as there is for the teaching of God's word. This is as pure as it gets. Hearing it read, and then explaining it. It's what we do on Wednesday evening, right? Throughout the week, we're reading, and then we talk about it. Explain it. It's extremely important that you're involved in both the reading, hearing of the word, and understanding it. It's one thing to hear it, but you got to comprehend it. And that may require some explanation. There may be times when you need to understand the historical context that you may not know. That's my job, to teach you that. These Levites had the responsibility of teaching God's word to the people who were hearing it. As I studied this passage, I saw a couple of things that I think still happen on the spiritual mountaintops of our journeys. First, being involved in corporate worship and activities prepares people to hear from God. There's a sense here that the people, because they had corporately worshiped and corporately worked together to build the wall, and they saw God's protection and blessing, that they were all jazzed up about what they had accomplished. And being all jazzed up about what they had accomplished put them in a good position to hear God speak to them through His Word. They had been to the mountaintop of rebuilding the wall. They were all jazzed up about, look what we have actually accomplished. And so they were ready to hear from God. Second, Ezra and Nehemiah knew that the people needed to hear and understand God's word. The leaders understood they needed to hear and know God's word. So Ezra and Nehemiah were properly prepared to give it to them. They had been obedient and were ready to hear, and Ezra and Nehemiah were ready to present. Third, no matter what had been accomplished, God's word must be presented, must be respected, and must be understood. The leaders need to ensure that God's word is kept in front of the people, especially when they're properly prepared. You go through the week and you had some successes and you want to share with the people, you need to hear from God's word. I'll never waver on presenting God's word to you. I will always prepare and deliver to you what God has said. No matter what is accomplished in you and through you, I will always present, respect, and help you understand God's word. That's my job. That's my calling. If I fail to do that, that will be my downfall. God will take me out, or He'll punish me, or He'll discipline me somehow. I don't know how, but He will. And Nehemiah, who was the governor, and Ezra, the priest and the scribe, and the Levites who taught the people, said to all the people, "This day is holy to the Lord your God. Do not mourn or weep." For all the people wept as they heard the words of the law. What they heard was beginning to make an impact on them. This experience of being on the mountaintop and then hearing the law of God. Here are the things you need to do. What does Moses say in the Torah? It includes the Ten Commandments. It includes the practical system of how they're to worship, how they're to live, how they're to treat each other. They had just been disciplined for usury against each other, for putting their fellow Jews into slavery to pay their bills, to buy food, and so forth. They began to weep. They heard the word of God and they began to weep. The word heard is kesom. It's more simply, is more than simply audibly hearing. This word has the sense of hearing with understanding and obeying. It's not just hearing the words, it's doing something with the words. So when we read that They wept as they heard the words of God. They understood them. They recognized their own failures to be obedient. When they understood what they were hearing, they wept. Convicted by God of their sins, they wept. God's word is powerful when it's sowed into a receptive field. These people were spiritually prepared to hear from God, and then when they did, it caused them to weep. They were emotionally overwhelmed by God's presence with them and their own failures. Then he said to them, "Go your way, eat the fat and drink the sweet wine, and send portions to anyone who has nothing ready. For this day is holy to the Lord. Do not be grieved, for the joy of the Lord is your strength." At the conclusion of the mountaintop experience, they were told to go their way and celebrate. Celebrate being obedient to God, hearing from God, and aligning themselves with God's direction. Go and enjoy some really good food, some really good drink. Share with others who may not have any. Enjoy the time of celebration because you are obedient to the Lord. Don't be fixated on your failure. Celebrate your success. They accomplished rebuilding the wall corporately. They listened to and learned God's word corporately. They were also to share with others what God was doing. Notice that it was a group. It was always a group. He didn't say, go home and be by yourself and celebrate. He said, do it as a group. You built the wall as a group. You were obedient to the group. You heard God's word as a group. Now celebrate as a group. Ezra tells the people, the joy of the Lord is your strength. They were celebrating God's care, protection, and provision of the people, even though they had sinned in the middle of their work. Remember the discipline that Nehemiah had to enforce dealing with their Gentile wives? They had sinned, but God had given them grace. We sung it earlier, grace wins, right? They responded, and now they were celebrating a great victory in their obedience to God. Ezra told them their joy is because they were resolved to be obedient. When you're obedient to God, you can feel His joy. Their obedience was their strength. So the Levites calmed all the people, saying, "Be quiet, for the day is holy. Do not be grieved." I think a better way to translate "be quiet" is to not cry, to not weep. He wasn't saying don't rejoice. He was saying stop crying. Stop lamenting over your failures that have been dealt with by God and celebrate the success. They had just been through a mountaintop experience and then heard God's word with explanation. It caused them to weep. They felt the pain of their failure. They had failed God. God had disciplined them. They responded and finished the work that God had given them. Then they celebrated and worshiped. In remembering their sin, they wept. And the Levites urged them, today is a holy day. Today is a special day. Celebrate God. Don't celebrate your failures. Don't lament on your failures. Celebrate God. And all the people went their way to eat and drink and to send portions and to make great rejoicing because they had understood the words that were declared to them. The people responded and left the gathering rejoicing and worshiping. They went to celebrate together with others who, being obedient to God and His word, they celebrated together what God was doing. I was asked the other day why I frequently bring up the things that Friendship Grace Brethren does. And my answer was to celebrate what God is doing in us and through us. I'm not celebrating what I do. I'm celebrating what God does. Just like Ezra instructed the people to do. Celebrate God doing these things. When I opened that letter from Three Strands the other day, it was with a sense of rejoicing that the hospital had power all night. Esther, we've been there. You haven't seen the hospital. Neither have I. But we know that they don't have power much. But now a place where people are being led to the Lord and recuperating physically have power all night. So the machines work. So the doctors and nurses have the ability to care throughout the night. You help do that. In the next couple of weeks, there'll be motorbikes going out all over Central Africa and Haiti, northern part of Haiti, that we paid for. The people are going to get treatment and the gospel because you did it. We need to celebrate that. We need to understand God's word. That's important. And we need to celebrate when we understand God's word. They needed to celebrate the success of building the wall in 52 days. That's remarkable. We're talking about miles of walls that are several feet thick and a bunch of feet high. That's a remarkable deal. Celebrate the victories God has in you and through you. Don't boast on what you did. Celebrate on what God does. Boast in what God is doing. Celebrate what He does. God's word is powerful. God's word causes there to be change within you. For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and spirit, of joints and marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. It's important that you place yourself in a position to be receptive to God's word. Except when it's really cold out, I like to sit out on the back porch first thing in the morning. I get my coffee and I sit out there and it's just me and God and the squirrels. I got a couple of squirrel families that I like to watch. It's important that I hear from God to start my day. If I do it in the house, I get distracted. There's too many things going on. So God, make it warm again so I can go back outside. Yeah. It's important that we're involved with others, following God and accomplishing what God wants us to do. God has organized the church into small groups called churches for a reason. He puts the people He wants together in a church to accomplish things, and we're to be active together, hearing God's word, being obedient, doing what God wants us to do, celebrating those things that God accomplishes. It's important that we celebrate together. We can't celebrate those victories alone. Celebration requires you to be with others. We need to be with others, others who are involved. I said before that I'll never shy away from bringing God's word to you. I'll never shy away from celebrating His success either. Not my success, God's success. I'll always work to keep this church involved as a group of people in the work that God wants us to do. God has said that the things that we can do are helping to pay for some of these things. This morning in Laboule, Haiti, there is a church meeting on a piece of ground that they own because you paid for it. Since we paid for it, they haven't had to move. Before we paid for it, they had to move all the time because they would fix up a piece of property and then the landlord would take it because he could make more money renting it to somebody else. Now they don't go through that. Successes that you guys are involved in. I'll always work to keep us involved in things like that. I'll always work to keep you involved in hearing God's word and try to explain it to you as best I can. We need to hear God's word. We need to celebrate his successes through us, and we need to remember our failures and address them with God. And then celebrate the victory that comes after that. Because every failure brings a victory after, when we truly are changed by his word. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for how you use your word to change our hearts, to change our minds, to align us with your direction, to be involved in the way you want us to be involved, to follow you. Lord, give us opportunities to present the gospel. Give us opportunities to give a reason for the hope that lies within us. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your power. And thank you for the successes that we get to participate in. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for joining us for Teaching on Demand from Friendship Grace Brethren Church. We pray that today's message has aided you in learning and living God's Word. We warmly invite you to join us for worship at Friendship Grace Brethren Church, located at 6865 Eagle Street, Fort Myers, Florida. Come and experience the fellowship, worship, and teaching that make our community special. We look forward to seeing you there.